the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Remain standing. Take your Bible this morning. We're going to do something a little different. Miss Susan's there. We're going to sing God Bless America, the chorus, in 1 second. But I want to read our text this morning in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 33. And as the psalmist writes about God's blessings, and I'm going to preach on this thought this morning, God bless America. Amen. God bless America. Psalms chapter number 33, if you found it, say amen. And I know that you're there. Psalms 33, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations." Now, verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people who he have chosen for his own inheritance." We're going to take our text out of verse number 12. I want to sing the chorus of God Bless America. You sing with me, and then we'll pray.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her with a light through the night from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd bless America. Lord, we pray for our nation on this July 4th. God, we do pray for our president. God, that you be with President Joe Biden as he leads the nation. With Kamala Harris, Lord, our vice president, she stands by his side. And God, we pray for those in authority today. We do pray, God, for the House and the Senate and those who lead it, for Chuck Schumer, and Lord God, that you would be with him as the majority leader right now, and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi the minority leader McCarthy, that you would be with him, and God, that you just would help those that are Lord leading the nation, our Supreme Court, those that are handling the affairs of our government, those that are handling our military. And God, we pray for the pastors all over America this morning that are preaching in their pulpits. God, it's the church that has made America what it is. And God, as we'll see this morning, God, it was you that blessed the nation. It was you that have made this nation last for 245 years. And God, may we never forget that it's God's blessing has got us where we are. Bless all that will be said this morning. If there be one that's lost, undone in their sin, may today be the day of salvation. Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This morning, as we preach on this thought of God bless America, you know, there's no doubt that we live in the greatest nation in the world. And I say that without reservation. Because why does everyone want to come here? Because it's the greatest nation in the world. I mean, I don't see people flocking to India to get to India. I don't see them flocking to get to the Islam nations. I don't see them flocking to go to China and go to Russia and go all these different... No, they are flocking and they want to come to America because God has blessed America. Amen. greatest nation in the world. Militarily, when it comes to our might, we are second to none when it comes to what God has done in this nation militarily. And you know, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, it was Admiral Yamamoto that said, "I fear that we have awakened a sleeping giant." And Yamamoto was correct. They awakened a sleeping giant, and America rose to the occasion, and we won World War II. Amen. And America has been the greatest military might ever since then, and everybody knows that. And not only that, when it came to military might, we have the greatest manufacturing. How do you think we were able to win battles? How do you think we're able to? America is a builder. America builds things. And manufacturing was the strength of America. Our mobility. There's not another nation in the world that has mobility like you and I have. We are free. We can go from California all the way to Washington, D.C., and we have no restrictions on our travel. Hey, you can get an old jalopy car, and if it'll make it to the West Coast, God bless you. You can do it if you want to. You can go to the UP, the Upper Peninsula, all the way down to the Gulf Coast without any restriction or any thing put on you as far as traveling is concerned. Americans have mobility. This is a great nation in which we live. I mean, in America today, Americans have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cars. Most countries, people will never have a car in their lifetime. We have mobility. We have our monetary system, the greatest in the world. All the world is based upon the U.S. dollar. Isn't that an amazing thing? And we're only, 3.5-4% of the world's population? But all the world follows the lead of America. Materially, we are the greatest nation in the world. You think of all that we have at our fingertips. I mean, all the world would love to come to America. Their dream is to come to America and sit down at a buffet and have all the food they could possibly want. And you know, prior to the pandemic, all the buffets have closed, remember? But prior to the pandemic, I mean, you could go anywhere. And you could literally fill yourself up. If you wanted to stay in the place all day long, you could do it and eat for $10, $12. Talk about the greatest nation in the world and God's blessing upon our nation. Can I tell you, we have had God's blessing upon our nation. I mean, the land of spiritual freedom, the land of physical freedom, the land of prosperity, and the home of the brave. We live here this morning. And America is blessed, and that's why they all want to be here. And there's never been a society that has been blessed for so long as America. Now, I know we're living in dark days and we're seeing things happen we never dreamed would see happen. A man, one of these crazy movie stars, he said, "What we need in America, we need a cataclysmic event that is so large and so powerful and so unsettling that it'll bring the American people together." Can I tell you, if we had a cataclysmic event, it still wouldn't bring the American people together. You know what would bring the American people together? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what would bring the American people together. That was the binding force throughout America's history. It was the power of the church and the power of the gospel and the preaching of the Word of God that made the American dream and made the American people a family. This morning, as we preach on God Bless America, I want to look at a few things at why America is so blessed. Verse 12 in our text said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Now, obviously, the first thing is why we're so blessed is because God has made America great. Thank God we don't need Donald Trump to make America great. God made America great. And I think America has never not been a great place. America's a great place, and it has always been a great place. You say, why? Because our foundation is right. Thank God for the foundation that we had in America. You say, who laid the foundation? The Pilgrims laid the foundation. They came seeking God and religious freedom, and they found it. Amen. And with it came great prosperity. You say, what happened to South America? Cortez went to South America seeking gold, and he found it. And it brought great poverty to all South America. The first Thanksgiving the world ever saw was celebrated in America. And what were they thanking? What was Thanksgiving about? Giving God thanks that He had blessed their lives. Amen. Our founders, as the lady sang about our founding fathers and those 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. George Washington, the father of the nation, he said, the Bible is the rock upon which the republic stands. Amen. And he also went on to say that it's impossible to govern a nation without God. The secular world would have you to believe that our founding fathers were not men of faith, when that is a lie. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and I have been to Washington, D.C., our founding fathers left their fingerprints of the Bible all over the city. And everywhere you go, there are Bible verses etched in stone. You say, why did they etch those Bible verses in stone? Because they knew there would be a time when people would forget. And they would say that America is not a nation under God, that America is not a Christian nation, that America is a secular nation, and therefore our founding fathers put it in the stones that for all time and eternity, America would know that it was founded upon God. The Ten Commandments proudly stands at the Supreme Court. You would think that there is no Ten Commandments in Washington, D.C. by how it's been banned all across America. But can I tell you, our forefathers etched it in stone. They would have to tear the building down to get rid of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are our guiding principles of law and order in this country. The fundamental focus of our society is God. And that's what made America great. And that's why we're failing today. Because as God is pushed out of society, and as God is pushed out of public, something else is taking its place, and it's the devil. Psalms 89, the Bible says in verse number 15, Psalms 89, 15, and you're right there. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Blessed are those people that know the joyful sound. You say, what is that? You have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. In thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in a vision to the Holy One, and says, I have laid up help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen of the people. God blessed America. Amen. And our slogan of our country, thank God, God and country. Our slogan is not government and country. Hallelujah for that. Our slogan is God and country. And it's what has made us great and what has blessed us in our nation. Alexander de Tocqueville said, the greatness of America lied in its churches and pulpits where the gospel thundered to its congregations. He said it wasn't in America's factories. It wasn't in America's cities. It wasn't in our system of government, but instead in our churches across this land. Psalms 144 You're right there, Psalms 144, and in verse number 15. I love the book of Psalms because it tells us of God and brings comfort. Psalms 144 and verse number 15, he said, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Don't I say happiness is the Lord all the time? You want to meet miserable, unhappy people that are filled with hatred and bitterness? You meet some people without God. Meet an atheist. Meet an agnostic. Meet someone who has no God in their life. And I'll tell you, you erase God out of your life, you erase all happiness out of your life. Because happiness is the Lord. Psalms 146 and in verse number 5, he says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You say, what's the alternative? Psalms 9:17. But the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. Why are our big cities falling apart in New York and Chicago and L.A. and over there in Newark, New Jersey, and over there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? Because they become godless bastions of depravity. And life has no value when you have no faith in God. Psalms 50:22 says, now consider this, ye that forget the Lord, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. It's God that made this nation what it is. You know why the Chinese don't value life? Because they got no God. You know why the Russians don't value life? Because they got no God. You know why, the Muslim nations don't value life? Because they got no God. American soldiers, to save one soldier, they're willing to lose 20. No soldier left behind. Why is that? Because Americans value life. That's what's so sad to see with the abortion crowd in the day in which we live. Because they don't value life. They value animals and whales and birds. But they don't value the life of children. And it's because they're godless. God made America great. And God blessed America. It's all because of God. It's all because, number two, the gospel. You know, the gospel goes right along with God. Paul said this in Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1 and verse number 15 concerning the gospel. He said in verse number 15, so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that roam also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of the gospel. Again, would the writer say, we have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. The good news of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, how that Christ came and suffered and bled and died on a cross and rose again the third day. Paul said this, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. And after that he was seen of 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain of this present, but some are fallen asleep. You know, you realize kids are going to come this week who have never heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I dare say there are people by the millions across America that have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. When Paul was preaching in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they cried out and say, hey, come and help us, for these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You know what the gospel does? It turns the world upside down. There's nothing more powerful this morning than the gospel message of Jesus Christ to change a person's life. And let me tell you, the gospel blesses all nations, peoples, lands that will embrace the message of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, go ye in all the world, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded them. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I'm thankful for the life-changing power of the gospel. It changed my life all those years ago, December 15th, 1979. Brother John, aren't you glad for the power of the gospel to change your life? Who would have thought he'd ever been here doing a skit? We were joking around last night. He was helping me cook. And he says, it's amazing, Brother Chris, that I never would have dreamed I'd have been here with you in the backyard cooking hamburgers and hot dogs for church. Because I wasn't exactly Brother John's favorite person. But you know what? Church people weren't exactly my favorite person when I got saved. I didn't like them church people. They're weird. They're weird, funky people. You don't want to be around them, you know? I'd run from them church people. But you know what? It's amazing how the power of gospel changes people's lives. And how the power of the gospel gives you a love for people that aren't like you. That's the amazing thing of the power of the gospel. Therefore, if any be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Hallelujah, behold, all things are become new. The new birth. Thank God. That's why John said, hey, or Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, marvel not that I say, ye must be born again. Only the new birth can change a person's life. And that's the power of the gospel. To make a drunkard sober. To make a drug addict clean. To make a murderer to be gentle. I mean, you think to make an effeminate man a man. To make a liar honest. And to make a thief to be a person who doesn't steal. See, the power of the gospel breaks all the chains of sin. And that's why God blessed America. When the gospel would go to those wild towns out west, it would transform the cities. Transform the towns. Transform. The gospel transformed America into a safe place. That's why it's not safe in New York and Chicago and all these other places tonight. In Portland. Because they've ran God out of town. And what replaced it was death on every hand. Why is America blessed? Because of God, because of the gospel, and because of goodness. You know, Alexander de Tocqueville was an intelligent man. And he also said this, America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be great, good, America will cease to be great. You know, the goodness of America. America had morality. Isn't that what's missing in people's lives today? People don't have any morals anymore. And I'm amazed the lack of morality in people's lives and the lack of respect that they have towards God and the Bible and the church and the preacher and for their own self. In Luke chapter number 6 in the New Testament, Jesus said this, concerning our standard of behavior and what we're supposed to do as a child of God. Luke chapter number 6, and we'll look there in verse number 27, Luke 6 and 27. And Jesus said these words. He said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, and do good to them which hate you. That's one of the things that made America great. He said, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, when people curse me, I say, well, God bless you, I'll be praying for you. Don't you know that makes them mad? They say, don't you pray for me. I said, you can't stop me from praying for you. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. If ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. That's the memory verse for the first night of Vacation Bible School. You say, what's the ideal here? Hey, we're supposed to be good. And morality is part of being good. The golden rule should be taught and followed. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting life. Loving your neighbor as yourself is one of the great commands. It sums up six of the commandments. The last six commandments deal with your neighbor. And Jesus said, if you'll love your neighbors yourself, that'll take care of everything else. Do good, be good, live good. That's how you get God's blessings. The goodness of America, the morality. And then the message of America. You know, even corporations understand messaging. That's why State Farm was like a good neighbor. State Farm is there. Now, we know that's just a slogan. Have a claim and you'll find out, right? Allstate, you're in good hands. Nationwide is on your side. But what did Jesus do? He went around doing good. He went around doing good. You say, what is the church? It's a hospital for the sick, and it's a haven of rest for the weary. The church is a place of safety. The church is a place of fellowship and friendship. We say at Fellowship Baptist Church, we're the friendliest church in East Ridge. And we love people. And we want them to come. And we want them to be blessed. And thank God we want to have some morality in our lives. You think about the morality of America, the message of America, but the means of America. You know, America's always been a defender of the downtrodden and the lifter up of the defenseless and the helper of the underdog. Isn't that what the Statue of Liberty is all about? If you read what's written on the Statue of Liberty, that's why America is the police for the world without charge. We protect the world without charge. We physician the world without charge. We provide for the world without charge. And nobody does more. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. For what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You see the generosity of America. No nation is more generous than America. 90% of the UN is funded by America. 75% of NATO is funded by America. The World Food Organization, 90% of it is funded by America. And the World Trade Organization, 50% is funded by America. Huh. We have been blessed because we've been so generous. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. I always say this, stinginess is a plague that destroys those who possess it. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." You know, when you see someone in need and you stop and help them, Jesus said, "When you've done of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." You say, why is America so blessed? Because America is so generous. And America is blessed because of our gallantry. I think about our forefathers and those 56 men and what they were willing to lose so that we could have what we have this morning. Their fortunes, their lives, their sons and their daughters. And it produced a nation of hardworking, disciplined, courageous people. They say God, guns, and guts made America great. That's a slogan. But I'll tell you, I believe it. I believe it. They drove out the British, the French, and the Germans, the Mexican armies off American soil. And we're one of the few nations that has never been invaded or conquered by its enemies. What's made America great for 245 years is what will keep our nation great. And that is God, the gospel, goodness, generosity, and gallantry. We know America is failing because those five things are failing. When people can walk by and watch innocent people being brutalized and take videos of it and enjoy watching it, we know our nation is failing. Gallantry is gone. Generosity is gone. Goodness is gone. And now that they want to make it illegal to give the gospel to children, our nation, if we're not careful, it's going to be gone. We have to return to our core values of what made this nation great. It was loving God and loving each other. The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets, Jesus said. Are those the things that you have in your life? Are those your founding principles? Is that your code to live by? Does God have a place in your life? Does the gospel have a place in your life? Does goodness have a place in your life? Does generosity have a place in your life? Does gallantry have a place in your life? If you want God's blessings, it always begins with God. But eliminate God from your life and see what happens to your life. It all falls apart in a hurry. And people wonder, why is my life so horrible? Because you took the blessing of God out of your life. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Without God, we have nothing. I hope you know the Lord this morning. I hope you're a child of God. You can say you've been born again. I hope you can think back into your life when there was a day when your life was changed forever. I know the day I got saved, December 15th, 1979. Time and a place. If you can't look back to a time and a place, and you might not know the exact day, but at least a time and a place when you received Christ as your personal Savior. Hey, that's an important thing. When your life was changed, when you got born again, and God made all things new. And walking with God and having God's blessings upon your life. Let's stand for prayer this morning. Brother Doug's going to come. We're going to have a song of invitation this morning.
Show them the love of God.